Every generation eventually earns the right to proclaim that things are just not the way they were when they were growing up. This can be expected as culture evolves, priorities change, and technology progresses. However, a potentially dangerous trend is emerging that is taking kids farther away from nature and filling their lives with a barrage of electronic distractions. The Adventures of Anu and Poshmak by author Selma Mogimi encourages kids to explore what it means to be alive. Jennifer Morris talks to Selma about the benefits of being outside and the importance of our special relationship with animals.
You had a cat named Poshmak that's no longer with you, is that correct?
Yes.
And you said that Poshmak taught you some things. What did you learn from your cat, and did Poshmak inspire the original idea for this book?
Yes, actually, it's all very interesting because Poshmak was with me for 17 years. So it was a big journey that we had together, a big journey in my life of transformations and growth and spiritual development along with him and his soul's growth. The one thing that I really learned being around Poshmak, he was a very special being, a very light being. And actually, I learned how intelligent animals are and their ability to really communicate very clearly and effectively with human beings. Because they are energetic beings, and we are all energetic beings. So it became very clear for me that that's how animals communicate, and they feed off of energy, and they read energy, and they're actually a lot more sophisticated in that than we are. So spending time with them really connected me to my own inner child, as you say, and my own sense of beingness on the planet. Along with that connection to source and your intuitive self and your energy comes a lot of tenderness. If there's one word that I could really say that Poshmak really taught me was tenderness, and to see animals as equals. They are teachers.
What about the little girl in the book, Anu?
It's about me. It's about my own experience growing up and actually just coming back to myself, my own essence as an adult. And Anu, actually my niece, when she was little, now she's 15, but when she was little, that's when the inspiration also started. I was around children a lot when she was growing up. And just her essence inspired me to start writing stories. And I would read it to her school and create little stories and images and pictures. And she wanted to call me Auntie, and she couldn't. So she started calling me Anu. And it just, my name became Anu. And
oh, and that's how you got it for the little girl.
That's how I got it, yeah.
So Anu's cat is Poshmak, we should clarify. And he's not only her best friend, but he really teaches her about life. And Anu says to Poshmak that there are so many ways to see life. What are some of the different ways in the book that you encourage children to see life?
Actually, what's interesting is I do take them through a nature scene, but my whole idea behind this was for the children to actually use this book as an interactive way to choose what they see and be validated for it. Because a lot of times we instruct children how to see and what to see and how they feel or how they should not feel. But I kind of wanted to do a different approach and have them improvise while they're reading the book, kind of do a little experiential play and start sensing the world around them while they're reading the book. I'm really encouraging them to develop that kind of skill and then be validated for it. I think it's so important as they're going through the book and as adults who are reading it for them or sitting with them and going through it, to validate their perception as they're moving along through the stories.
And I love that. You have Anu, you know, look straight out at the ocean. You can bend down and look between your legs at the ocean, and that's a different view. And that's a great point. You can do this in your living room with your child, reading them the story, and have them look at the wall or a piece of art on the wall in all these different fun ways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anu says different eyes see different things in the book. Is tolerance another message that you want to get across from this book?
Absolutely. I think in today's world, tolerance is so important. And the sooner we teach children about tolerance, the better it will be for the future of our planet. And I also believe that we need to learn how to validate children's perceptions and feelings at a very young age, especially in the educational system, rather than forcing children to believe and see and memorize and feedback and then measure their intelligence level. I think it's really important to validate their perceptions on a very feeling-based level. So when you do that, that child will learn compassion and then be compassionate to another child if the child wants to share something. And it will stay through them through adulthood.
You do encourage the physical elements as far as how we, quote, see things. You talk about hands through touch, tongues through taste.
Absolutely, because we're in body. And the physical elements are just as important as the spiritual. Actually, they work together. You know, it's two sides of the same coin. So that's why I actually take the children through the regular senses and then bring the heart sense or the intuitive sense into play, because it's all interrelated and interconnected. And it needs to work together as a whole system for the child to become a fully self-actualized adult.
Salma, what is the moral of this story, if there is one?
The moral of the story, this is interesting, because when I wrote the story, I wasn't really thinking of a moral. It was mostly like an intuitive surge of energy that came to me that developed into the story. But as I've thought about it more, I really feel that the moral of the story is to teach about the heart. It's about the connection to the feelings that we have as children that need to have a voice. And for us to learn that other beings on the planet are there to help us learn, especially animals, I think. The relationship between an animal and a human is a very therapeutic. Outside of therapy, because I have a psychology background, you know, I've seen it in a therapeutic environment, but also in a normal environment and in day-to-day living. A lot of peace can grow from this. I mean, that's the true message of the story.
The final line of the book is that life can never be boring. And I think that that's an especially important message now in this day and age where our kids, if they're not playing someone's iPhone or video games, they think that they're bored.
Yeah, absolutely. And being in the mental health profession as well, there's a lot of children now that are being diagnosed with all kinds of things and being labeled all kinds of things, and a lot of depressed children. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why are so many children on antidepressants? You know, just the simple things that used to make us happy before technology was around are not doing it anymore. And technology is a wonderful thing. And again, I always say this, is that technology is really helping us through life and bringing us closer together. But we also have to realize that our children are being overexposed to a lot of stimulus right now. And they can get bored really easily because that's what they're getting used to. So, I mean, when you take a child out to nature, some of the children that I've come across, they don't know how to play anymore. They don't know how to imagine anymore. So the message here is sometimes just going outside and running with your pet or exploring new things is the best kind of connection that can make you feel alive and show you that life itself is a stimulus that we need to connect to. So animals are key to this because they help us stay connected to this part of ourselves so we don't fall into depression, we don't get ill, we don't create disease and uneasiness in our bodies through life.
One
independent
voice
for all.
This is
Bright New Voices,
the Balboa Press Hour.